What's going on, y'all? Welcome back to another episode of Sports Talk with Naj, man. I'm hoping you guys are having a great MLK day. For me, it was an off day or work from home day, so very, very special. A man that changed the world and really showed his impact and, you know, did a lot of things to help try to change society and, you know, give rights to people. And he just had a profound impact. So I'm blessed today to be able to celebrate MLK Day. A well-deserved holiday, and I'm just grateful for everything that MLK meant, he represented, and what he did, you know, for my race and what I am, an African-American male. So, you know, I'll take a quick moment of silence before I begin today's show, is honoring MLK. All right, man, let's get it, man. We got so much to talk about. All right, so let's start playoffs, right? Let's talk NFL. Well, actually, you know, I might even go NFL. Let's talk that great upset I predicted, actually. Barca defeats Real Madrid in the Supercopa de España. I mean, that was a great game. I know I had a friend, I watched it at a buddy's house. He had Real Madrid winning. They have won 6 of the last 7 matches against Barca. Really great front line, Vinicius Jr., Karim Benzema. A really great team, but they were getting taken advantage of on the counterattacks and their defense. And someone pointed out a really important thing, I thought, and Carvajal, who got replaced towards the end, it felt like, you know, he's obviously a right back, but he felt like he's playing up a little bit too much, and it felt like he's playing a lot of midfield. So I think that's where they were getting exploited. And then Lewandowski and Xavi, they were just taking advantage of it all night long. They both had a great game. I think they both scored, notched a goal and an assist, and that was their first time winning, I think, a Supercopa de España, or I think a major trophy in quite some time, maybe since 2018. So shout out to Barca. Nobody believed me when I said Barca would win. If you guys haven't seen that video, go check it out at sportstalkwithnaj.com, or you can check it out on my TikTok, Naji Woke. I definitely called it. And like I said, man, I just love having upset picks, man. It's nothing like it. It's so much fun. So, you know, obviously it's a new year, but I'm going to keep doing those kind of videos, man. It's a lot of fun. So, but yeah, Barca won 3-1. They dominated the game. First half, they were up 2-0. It just seemed like in that game that Real Madrid just wasn't as fast as they usually are. They wasn't as on point as they usually are in their attacking. And it seemed like they were a little bit slower to defend. They were taking advantage of the breaks. I thought the through balls for Barca was really important in that game, and they took advantage when they had a lot of shots on target, on goal early in that game, and it really stands out. So for Barca right now, they're playing well. They win the trophy. Right now, they're leading in La Liga standings. They're up 3 points on Real Madrid. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, what kind of happens with that battle down the line. But it's nothing like beating your rival. In a big matchup like that for a championship and for a trophy. So shout out to Barca. Definitely had them winning, and they handled their business. They definitely did. And we see why Lewandowski and Benzema are one of the best in the game right now. So, you know, we'll see how the season plays out in La Liga, but I mean, just balling out. And my Chelsea finally were able to get a dub. You know, a long time coming, I'm not gonna lie to you. We've been struggling the last 10 games. You know, I think we're 10 points from relegation. So a much needed win. I believe Havertz scored the goal. We just signed somebody else who was supposed to be a striker coming in. Hopefully, man, it'll help. We've just been kind of hit with the injury bug. I still don't agree with them getting rid of Thomas Tuchel. I thought they just kind of hit a rough patch, but that happens throughout the season. But I mean, Graham Potter, we'll see what happens with him as our manager. But I just think they moved on too quickly from him. We'll see how the season plays out. Getting a top four spot, it's not looking too likely. I'm not going to lie to you, but we'll see if they can finish the season strong. But, you know, those injuries to Raheem Sterling and Christian Pulisic and Edward Mendy and the plethora of our players really, really has hurt us. So, you know, we'll see what happens. They have spent a lot of money, but at the end of the day, soccer, a lot of time, you need the cohesion. You need the camaraderie. You can't just piece things together, you know, in a season. You know, it takes time for things to build. And I think you saw that earlier with Manchester United, who's actually battling for a top four spot right now. You know, you've seen the struggles earlier, and you've seen them losing the big games, losing to Liverpool, and really struggling on the pitch. And then you have the drama with Cristiano Ronaldo, who is now at Al Nassr. So you've seen all that stuff early, and I think what Erik ten Hag is doing is great. I think them getting him and landing him, you're seeing the difference. Them landing Casemiro in the transfer window. Some of the moves they made has really helped their team and their back line. And, you know, Casemiro is a really good attacking midfielder. Marcus Rashford has been playing at a phenomenal level, top tier right now. I think he's been scoring eight goals in maybe his last 10 games. He's just been on another level, and he's really stepped up after struggling a little bit last season. So you're seeing kind of Man United step up big, and they got a really big victory this past weekend. They beat Manchester City 2-1. Very good victory for them. And Manchester City is kind of, you know, they've hit a little bit of a rough patch right now. You know, they lost to Southampton. If it wasn't Southampton, I think it was Brentford. But they lost, you know, in that matchup, I think it was Southampton, 2-0. So they lost in, I think, in the Carabao Cup, and they got eliminated. And then you pile it on with a 2-1 loss to Manchester United. So, you know, kind of struggling right now, but we'll see. So a lot of season left. I think it's about to hit the midway point right now. So the season goes all the way to May. So we'll see what happens and how everything finishes out. But it should be very good. I know Youth is going to be starting back up pretty soon. So we'll see how it plays out. But that's basically the soccer update I got for you guys, what's been going on with that. But let's talk some NFL, man. Heck of a weekend. I am still befuddled. Yes, I said it, befuddled. I am confused because I actually have the Chargers winning and defeating the Jacksonville Jaguars. I don't know what happened. I wasn't watching the game. I got invited to a kickback. I was hanging with some friends, you know, hadn't seen in a little bit of a while, so I was doing that. But I looked back at the highlights, 27-0 at half. I mean, I don't know. I still don't know for the life of me how you blow that. How do you blow a 27-0 lead? It just doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't make sense. I mean, Jacksonville, of course, put up that drive together. You get a touchdown pass from Trevor Lawrence to Evan Ingram. But you were up 20 at half. I mean, how do you blow that kind of a lead? It didn't make sense to me. Trevor Lawrence had 3 interceptions. Then before the half, he had 4. I mean, that you gotta put your foot on the gas, you gotta put your foot on their throat, and you gotta win that game. There's no way the Chargers should have lost. Obviously, they had a missed field goal, but they only scored 3 points in the second half. So I think that's important. And Jacksonville kept battling. Defense was getting stops when they needed to, and they won the game. I mean, that one there was a shocker. But this Jacksonville team's playing with momentum right now. I definitely had the Chargers winning, but I mean, that's just a tough pill to swallow. Obviously, they played without Mike Williams, and but I just, it still baffles me that they lost that game. You know, we'll see what happens with Brandon Staley if they move on and they decide to keep him. I think that'll be really interesting to see. But yeah, man, I mean, it's just no way you lose that game. No way, no way, no how. So, I mean, just got a couple things they got to work on. I think the defense, they got to work on a little bit more with the Chargers. They got some great pieces. They got some superstars on that defense. Joey Bosa, Derwin James, Khalil Mack. I think linebacker position is an area they might need to work on and try to, you know, help out their team. But it's just inexcusable, man. I think when you have them big leads like that, teams get too cute. You know, obviously you want to be aggressive, but it's nothing wrong with me, like, running the football, you know, milking some of the clock. All you really need, if you have a big lead like that, people don't think about this, but if you have a big lead like that, you run the football, you know what I'm saying? You get the defense on the edge. Obviously, you be aggressive when you can, build into play action, and then you do that. But you want to, like, when you have the lead at that point, you want to go on like 7, 8, 9, 10-minute drives. Because then think about it, it's only 15 minutes and a quarter. You're going on clock killing drives. You know what I'm saying? And then, you know, before you know it, you got one. You really, at that point, you really only need one big touchdown, one long drive, and the team is essentially out of the game because there's not enough time left in the game. But then when you go 3 straight passes, or you get a first down and you have to punt subsequently after that, that's what happens. So I think just you know, poor with them. I mean, obviously they made the playoffs, which was good for Justin Herbert getting the experience. But it's going to be tough, man. I mean, you know, coming back from that kind of a loss and, you know, recouping and getting back to where you want to be. So, shout out to Jacksonville. They're going to play KC on Saturday, 4:30. That'll be a really intriguing game. Can't wait to see what happens with that one and how they come out. That'll be intriguing. So, that was the first game. No, excuse me. That was the second game. The first game was San Fran. It was close. Division game. Seattle gave all they could. San Fran just ended up taking over. Christian McCaffrey had another phenomenal game. Deebo Samuel. Brock Purdy's been playing well. I mean, I think a team that's on a collision course for the Super Bowl. I do. I think there's only one team that can stop them or potentially give them a little bit of a challenge. I think that's Philly. They're going to play this weekend. So, you know, we'll see what happens with that. But San Fran is just in another mode right now. They're going to play the winner of tonight's game between the Dallas Cowboys and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So we'll see what happens. But another great performance from San Fran. And that defense is for real, man. I'm telling you, that San Fran defense is something special. And, you know, we're going to see what happens with it. But don't sleep on San Fran, man. I'm telling you, they are doing some great stuff down there. And that team, you gotta keep your eye on. So that's what kind of happened in that game. You know, Seattle just came up a little bit short. They got some good weapons. I think defensively, they just got to work on a couple things. Their corners were getting kind of torched a little bit. They did get Tyreek Woolley, who had a pretty good season, but they got to shore up that defense. They got to get some dogs on defense. They got to shore up that defensive line, linebacker position, and maybe, you know, get a couple safeties in the draft. They got to do some things for that defense, and just give Geno a couple more weapons. But they said they want him back in 2023, so we'll see what happens. But that's kind of that game. Then Buffalo, kind of really surprising, but then again, I'm not, because it's division rivalry. Although they played a third stringer, you know, they ended up escaping 34-31. Josh Allen, you know, he had an okay game. He had two interceptions, and then he had a fumble. So I thought their defense was creating a lot of pressure for the offensive line. They had 7 sacks in that game, too. So, you know, the offensive line has to play a lot better, I think. They got to establish more of a running game. They kind of struggled in that department. So, I mean, you know, we'll really see what happens with that. But Buffalo, I thought, you know, nonetheless, when you ever play in a divisional opponent, it's always tough, man. It's never easy. I know people are like, oh, well, they barely won. But at the end of the day, you can play a team 3 times in 1 year. They know you well. They know your tendencies. They know your weaknesses. They know what you like to do. They know what plays you're going to favor. It just makes it more tough. And I think that's what happened in that one. And Skylar Thompson, despite, you know, him being a third stringer, I thought he played well. He did the best he could to try to put them in a position to win. It's just inexcusable. I don't know if it was Mike McDaniel. I'm not sure if he calls the plays or the offensive coordinator, but you cannot have on a timeout on a 4th-and-1 under any circumstance. You just cannot have a delay of game. It's inexcusable, bro. It's inexcusable. You cannot do that. And that's what happened with them. That really cost them, in my opinion. And that's why they fell short. But Miami has a lot going. I wouldn't fire Mike McDaniel. The problem with Miami is, again, same thing. Defense played well. Defensive line played well. There's a couple pieces they need on that defense, I think. I like Jalen Phillips. They're kind of edge rusher, the guy. I think he's a rookie. They just need a couple more pieces. Xavier Howard is pretty good. He got burnt on a couple plays, but he's pretty good. But, I mean, for me, if I'm in that front office, I'm not getting rid of Mike McDaniel. I'm just not. I'm not going to get rid of him. What purpose would that serve to get rid of him? The problem with Miami is their quarterback. Okay? Tua is a great player, you know, and he showed a lot of stride this year. But the problem is he can't stay healthy. He has a concussion problem. And, you know, I think, you know, at this point, man, your health is more important. Obviously, he's supposed to be the starter next year, but that's what's kind of holding him back. So, I mean, you got to see, you know, assess his performance next year, seeing how you play. You got in the playoffs, which is good. But you might have to move on from that chip. If you can't get to the playoffs next year with Tua, if he has more injuries and you got to go with a second or third stringer, you might have to move on from Tua. Respectfully, again, this is a business. You know, you want your best players to play fourth. But I think you got too much talent with Jalen Waddle and Gesicki and Tyreek Hill and Raheem Mostert and all them boys to you know, fall short like that. You know, you got a team that's ready to win now, and you got to put the right person in place. Not saying Tua's not. Tua has displayed glimpses of that. But you got to, with the injury history and everything going on, if it's the same thing next year, you got to really think about moving on. And this is a strong draft class. CJ Stroud actually just declared for the draft. So you might think, you know, hey, maybe we can leverage a draft pick or something and go get, you know, a CJ Stroud early in the draft, or go get, you know, a Bryce Young, or go get a Hidden Hooker. You have to think about that. You have to explore all possibilities. Even the Bears GM, Ryan Pace, said, we're going to explore everything. I have to be obviously absolutely blown away to move off Justin Fields and go get Bryce Young. But still, you have to think about it. At the end of the day, you want to keep improving your team. So that's where I stand with Miami. Looking at kind of the next matchup, it was, you know, the Giants and Vikings. I don't think nobody was really surprised by this outcome. You know, Vikings were 12-0, I think, in 1-score games. But you just knew going in how they played, how close the games were. Minnesota never really dominated the team. Their first dominant victory was against the Packers. That was week 1 when Jefferson went off, I think, for over maybe 200-plus yards or something and 2 touchdowns. But they didn't have a lot of dominant wins this year. They were dominated by the elite teams this year. The Cowboys, 40-3. The Eagles, I think it was 24-7. The Packers, 41-17. Like, they were dominated. Oh, well, I don't know if you see Packers are a great team. But still, nonetheless, they were dominated by pretty good teams this year. And I don't know. Like, Kirk Cousins didn't have a bad game. He was 31-39, I think, over 250-plus yards. And he had a couple touchdowns. So, I don't know if I would really blame Kirk Cousins on that one. But, I mean, 4th and 8, bro. You're going to throw T.J. Hockenson in the flat. You're not even giving yourself a chance to win. You know, that was my only critique from Cousins last the past game. Throw it downfield. At least throw up a jump ball to Jefferson. Throw it to Thielen. You got to at least try. I mean, you know they're looking for that. And I thought Giants defense made a great stop on the play. You know, so I don't get it. But they got the right coach, I think, in Kevin O'Connell. They got talent. I mean, Jefferson, Thielen, Hockenson, Cook, but their defense, and I've been saying this, you know, the whole podcast, but their defense is just not where it needs to be right now. And they could not stop the Giants. Daniel Jones went off for 300-plus yards, 2 touchdowns, and I think he had over 70-plus rushing yards. They just didn't have any answers, and that's really surprising with a Giants team that, if you think about it, they're kind of lacking in the talent perspective at the receiver position. I mean, they got Darius Slayton, they got Kenny Golladay, they got Richie Holmes, but that's not enough. Like, you should be able to stop them. You should be able to, you know, be able to get them off the field, in my opinion. And that was kind of the story for Minnesota all year. The defense was not good enough in certain positions, and it kind of cost them. And I think that's why Minnesota lost that. And then Kirk Cousins throwing short of the flat, short of the first down on 4th down. You cannot do that. You cannot have that. So that's what kind of stood out to me in that one. I'm not surprised. Shout out to the Giants. Brian Daboll doing that his first season. And getting them to the postseason. Having them win a playoff game. I think it was incredible. It showed a lot. And they got to just, you know, learn from it for the Vikings. You got there. But it's like they can never get over the hump. They can never get past that first round. They can never get past that divisional round. So I think all that is important to talk about and to see what where they come next year. You know, what moves are they going to make in the offseason? It's important. And then for the Giants, you're good. You made the postseason. All you need to do, I think, free agency, you need to go get a number one receiver. Receivers are cool, you know, but you got to take, to me, obviously you're going to re-sign Barkley. You're going to re-sign Daniel Jones. You got to go get him a number one receiver. He showed this year his talent, what he can do. You know, he don't get a lot of love like he should, but you got to go get him some help. Straight up. That's just what it is. You got to go get him some more receivers, some more weapons on the offensive side of the ball besides the Barkley and himself. And Giants, you got to like the future and what you got going on. Your defense only going to continue to get better, and you just keep building. Building free agency, building the draft. And then I think the last one of the night, was us, my favorite team, Cincinnati Bengals. We played the Baltimore Ravens. I thought we came out good. It's 3-0 early. They had a great first drive. Baltimore's defense is really good. You know, at the start of the season, midseason, it wasn't all that. They used to give up blown leads and things like that, but their defense has gotten a lot better. You know, I have a mutual respect for Baltimore. A lot of Bengals fans don't, but I respect Baltimore. I don't respect the chippiness and what Marcus Peters is doing, punching Joe Mixon in the stomach. Just unnecessary, dog. You don't need to do all that. That was just unnecessary, you know. But for the most part, I have a mutual respect for them. And just looking at the game, analyzing the game, I think, you know, we were up 9-0. They got it going. They went down and scored, and they got a big fumble. Fortunate enough, our defense forced a field goal, but it was 9-7. That Kyle Hamilton play on Hayden Hurst was big. And our offense, they ran two shell high coverage the whole game, and we had no answers. We were running short hitches, and that was because our offensive line couldn't protect. And it sucks, man, because I know people will say, oh, well, the line's decent, or, oh, it wasn't even that strong point of the team. But they got if you go look at how our offensive line was last year compared to this year, it's like leaps and bounds way better, you know. And that 5, I thought, played all 15 games together, and I thought they played great all season long. And I already told you, the 2 injuries, Lyle Collins and Kappa, I put on Zach Taylor because Zach Taylor or the offensive coordinator, Brian Callahan. Because I've been saying it all year. It's been my shtick. You cannot throw the football that much. You're putting too much pressure on Burrow. Burrow is a great quarterback, you know, but at the same time, you're putting too much pressure on him. We have elite receivers, and you got to take advantage of that because you're going to have to pay both. And you might not be able to play Burrow and Chase and Higgins. You're probably going to have to pay Burrow, Chase, and then get another receiver. And we really we truly have two number one receivers in Higgins and Chase. Honestly, like that's without a question. That's without a doubt. So you have to take advantage of these runs like that. And they did that. I mean, they retooled the offensive line. It was so much better towards the end of the season. But when you pass so much, you put too much pressure on your guys. It's easier to go forward than to go backwards in the pass protect with a guy that can use a bull rush, a spin move, a finesse move against you. And I thought that's why those two got hurt. We were up 22-0 in the New England game. And same thing. We're just pass. Burrow throws the ball 52 times. That's not going to get it done, bro. You know, it's not going to get it done. And then people complain about Mixon. And, oh, he only had 39 yards. They don't run him enough, though. He only had 11 carries. You know, Burrow threw the ball 32 times. Mix it up. You know the situation. Three of five of your starters are hurt. You know, Jonah Williams is hurt. Luckily, he's week to week with a dislocated kneecap. We don't know what's going to happen with Alex Kappa. You know what I'm saying? He hurt his ankle. We don't know if he's going to play this week. You know, he was out. So we had Mark Sharpling step in. We had Akeem Adeniji step in for Lyle Collins. And then we had Jackson Carmen step up. And I'm going to be honest, bro. You got to move on from him next year. Respectfully, you got to move on. You know, he's not getting it done. You know, that was a waste of a draft pick. He is not, like, he's not the guy. We got a good first down carry. It was a holding call against him. He's not the dude, bro. And next year, you got to build depth on that offensive line. You have to. And like I said, in that game, we were fortunate to come out with a dub. You know, second half, we get sputtered again. We came out, defense gets a stop. It's 10-9. The offense goes back down the field. They get the big drive. They score the touchdown. That was huge. Burrow runs it in from the one-yard line. Big drive, up 17-10. Then Eli Apple gets torched by DeMarcus Robinson on a simple slant and go route, and then they tie the game up. And it was like that the rest of the way. I think we went three and out the rest of the game. And once again, our defense steps up big. Like, for Jermaine Pratt to stand up, Tyler Huntley, and then for Logan Wilson to be aware enough and have the football IQ to knock the ball out, and then for Sam Hubbard to return at 98 yards, it's just incredible, bro. Like, if they would have went up, I wouldn't have liked our chances to win that game at all. I wouldn't have liked our chances. And we're fortunate. We're very fortunate to have won that game. And our defense, once again, for the third week in a row that nobody's talking about, made a play. They did it against New England. Von Bell forces the fumble, you know, and they stopped New England on the goal line, essentially, and we get the ball back. Pretty much ices the game. Baltimore, when it was going for if we get home field or not, they forced four turnovers. They forced a big fumble late to try to milk out the clock. Once again, the defense, four turnovers against Anthony Brown. This game, two turnovers, an interception. They forced a big goal line stand. Instead of it being a field goal, they do a whole 14-point turnaround swing, and he returns it for a touchdown. And the defense had to get two more stops after that. Offense couldn't even get a first down. That's how sad it was. They couldn't even get a first down. But they couldn't protect. So now you know going next season, which they did good in getting new offensive linemen. I think we only had one starter left, which was Jonah Williams. But again, after this year, I think you got to move on. He's just not the guy at the left tackle spot. He gave up the most sacks this year with 12. I think he gave up a sack in the game too before he got hurt. Now, I wish a speedy recovery for him because we're going to need him. But you got to think next year, okay, we got to move on. Straight up, we got to move on. And I like Kappa, and I like Collins, and I like Tick Harris. You know, they did good. But you got to build depth at that position because you never know. And that's my big word with Cincinnati going into next week and next year. We got to build more depth on our offensive line. I think we'll be fine. That's going to be the big thing for us. Build more offensive line depth. Build more depth at the cornerback position. Build more depth at the linebacker position. You know, and I think we'll be fine. We got the dude. We got the quarterback. It's the first time in franchise history winning a playoff game in back-to-back seasons. So Burrow is just continuing to break records. But the game ball of that game, unequivocally, goes to the defense. They stepped up big, and they did it for the third week in a row. That's why we are advancing on to play Buffalo. And for the Ravens, great game plan. They made us play their kind of brand of football. You know, it was a grinded out physical game. They was running the ball well. They was getting a nice second and shorts, third and shorts. Had the whole playbook. They were baiting us. If they ran the football, they wanted Trey Hendrickson there so they could take advantage of that right side. They passed. They didn't want Cam Sample in because he's more of a kind of a run stopper. So they did good. It was a nice chess match between the two. And I thought they won the game. You know, I thought he did a good job adjusting. And we gave up some big runs. I'm not going to lie to you. We gave up some big runs. But at the end of the day, they got the dub. Fortunate to get the dub. But, you know, we'll see what happens next week. We get a rematch with Buffalo, which is what I wanted. But it's a lot of things they're going to need, right? They're going to hopefully need their two starters, if they can, miraculously be able to come back. If they can, I like their chances. The only weak link then will obviously be the right tackle position in Adeniji. But that's that. You can make up more so for that than having your left tackle and your guard out. You know, it's too much to ask those guys who are backups to come in and do that. But if you only have one and he has a pocket, we have the weapons and the receivers to do some damage. So we'll see what happens, man. But glad to be moving on. That's my thoughts on the game. Ravens, I don't know. I mean, with that kind of cryptic tweet and message from Lamar, I mean, and then he didn't even travel with the team. I think that showed you a lot, man. And I get it. I think he did the right thing. We see what happened with RG3 a couple years ago. And you got to put yourself first at the end of the day. This is a team sport, but you got to think about your bottom line. You got to think about your family and what really matters. And I don't blame him, you know. And I think it's a little riff right now with the organization. He might move on. I know they're going to try to franchise tag him. But if I'm him, I don't blame him. I wouldn't suit up. You know, I got to go get my money. And I think that's important. And, you know, he wants to land that long-term deal. Lamar is unequivocally, you know, he deserves it. He deserves it. And I can't blame him for wanting a guaranteed contract, because with how much he puts his body on the line and how much he sacrifices for the team and how much of a leader he is of the Ravens, and he's synonymous with Baltimore, you got to go for your money, bro. So I'm not even mad. So we'll see what happens with him next year. But that's my thoughts on that. And in the game tonight, I'm going to be honest, man. Dallas got a talented team. They do. Tony Pollard, Zeke Elliott, CeeDee Lamb, Michael Gallup's been stepping up. Dalton Schultz, defensively, Michael Parsons, Trayvon Diggs, DeMarcus Lawrence. They should go in here and win this game. They really should. They should beat Tampa Bay tonight. But my question is, I don't believe in their quarterback. I just don't think he's the guy. He only has, I think, one playoff victory in his tenure of, what, nine-year career? So I don't believe in Dak. That's why I go with Tampa Bay. Not because they're the more talented team. Dallas is the more talented team. But I think you got to have that guy if you're going to advance in the postseason. And Tom Brady is unquestionably that guy. He's the GOAT for a reason. He's won all those titles for a reason. So that's what it is, man. So, yeah, I'm going with Tampa Bay tonight. No disrespect to the Cowboys. I just don't think Dak's going to come up big. And he's too inconsistent for me. But we'll see. Maybe he'll prove me wrong. You know, but Dallas gonna have to play San Fran. That's gonna be a heck of a game. That's a rematch from last year's wild card. So we'll see what happens, man. But my money's on Tampa. I think Brady, playoff Lenny, Mike Evans, I think they're gonna have a big game. And I think you gotta definitely tune in. So, man, once again, I appreciate you guys spending 30 minutes of your time listening to me talk sports, talked a little bit about soccer, and what kind of happened this past weekend, and I obviously talked about some football, and who I'm taking tonight. So the division round should be good. I'll probably do a podcast on that. Y'all let me know what some other content y'all want to see. And I'll see you guys soon, man. I hope you guys have a great MLK day and have a great rest of the week. And I'll see you guys soon. All right. Peace.